quiet my reflection. I know we done learned some lessons, and you about to tell us what it is and what it ain't, so just leave a message after the sploosh. I love you.
Hey, beautiful. Today, we are talking about the book Calm the Beep Down by Sarah Knight. And on the front of the book, it says how to control what you can and accept what you can't so you can stop freaking out and get on with your life. Now, I don't know. I feel like this book is personally for me because when I walked in the library one day, it was sitting there on the table, like on display. And I was like, yeah, I'm getting that book immediately because I had... because I'm releasing this, right? I had the tendency to overthink situations, to create things in my head, to freak out at the slightest glimpse of, what am I trying to say? At the slightest glimpse of something going wrong or like a miscalculation or anything, I tended to just start thinking of all the possibilities of things that could happen, like, you know, how they say, what could go wrong? What's the worst thing that could happen? That was my go-to thought when I was thinking of something or possibilities. What's the worst that could happen? And I feel like this book really helped me calm the fuck down, genuinely. So first of all, thank you, Sarah Knight, for creating this book. And she has some other books as well. Like, The Life-Changing Magic of Not Giving a Fuck, Get Your Together, and You Do You. So I'll probably take those out later on down the road, but let's just start. I took a couple of notes, and I just want to share my findings. So if you're not really a book person, or if you just want to remember without reading the entire book, just review or whatever. So one of the first things she talked about were the three A's coming... the three A's when it comes to a problem or a situation coming up. So the first A is acknowledge. You have to acknowledge what happened and be aware of it. Like one of the faces of freaking out that she said was ostrich mode, which is when you just avoid whatever is happening. So we want to acknowledge that this situation has happened. And then we have to accept that the situation has happened, and we have to accept the things that we cannot control. So the first idea that came to my mind, the first example was like you getting into a car wreck. So you have to acknowledge, I just got into a car wreck. Accept that you can't control that you're now going to be late to wherever you're going to. You can't control the fact that you're going to have to get your car repaired or potentially a new car. You can't control the fact that it happened. And then you have to address what you can control. So you can control your temper. You can control the way you respond. You can control the way you react and the way that you, in what's the word, interact with the other party. You can control, you know, who you call. You can control what steps you take. You can't control you in that current situation. And that just was a good thing to implement into my brain, because when something happens, like one thing that I've been saying for a while is, if there's something that you can do about a situation, then do it. And if there's nothing you can do, then there's no need to sit there and stress about it, because you literally can't do anything. So do what you can and it'll make the situation go a lot easier. Now, back to the four faces of freaking out. These were what she was saying were the four responses to situations that cause you to kind of freak out. The first one was anxious. So this is when you start overthinking. This is when that anxiety comes knocking. This is when you are a little fearful of all the things that can happen. You start just thinking of everything that could go wrong. You start thinking of the little tiny details and you start making stuff up. So what you need to do when you find yourself getting anxious over a situation, you need to focus. Focus, do those three A's. Focus on what you can and cannot control. Focus on what you can do and focus on getting through the situation. The other one was the sad phase, which was crying, you know, having a mental breakdown, why me type of mentality. And it's very exhausting to do that. That's what she said. It's very draining for you to spend all of your energy that way reacting to a situation. So the thing that she recommends that you do when you find yourself reacting this way is to be patient. Allow things to play out. Don't just freak out right away. Calm down, breathe, be rational, and really think it through. The third phase was anger. And these are when you have negative actions. Like, let's say somebody just made you mad on your phone and you threw it. Now your phone's broken. Now you got to get a new phone. You know what I'm saying? Or let's say somebody's talking to you crazy, so you get angry and you punch them in the face. Now you got a charge. You know what I'm saying? Now you have to take anger management classes. Now you have a negative relationship with this person when y'all could have just talked it out. And so this anger leads to more bad things. So the best thing that you can do in this situation is to breathe, be rational, calm yourself down, step away for a moment if you have to. You know what I'm saying? Deal with your anger, calm yourself down, and then come back to the situation once you are rational and calm. And the last one that we kind of touched on was ostrich mode or avoidance. This is when you just ignore it like it's not happening. Like, let's say you get a ticket on your car. I think this is one example she used, actually. You get a ticket on your car and you just ignore it. You don't pay the fee. You just throw it away, like throw it in your glove compartment with all this other mail and letters and papers and things, and you just don't see it again. It's outside of mind, right? That doesn't make the problem go away. It just creates an environment for it to grow even crazier. So you have to accept the situation. You have to face it, even if you have to come back for it in a little while. Make a note of it. Don't just turn the other cheek. Don't turn your head away from these situations and try to hide them or act like they're not happening, because they are. Or like, let's say you notice a leak in your sink and you're just ignoring it. Yo, what a bill got me, huh? You know what I'm saying? The leak could turn into a sprout. The leak could turn into a full-on water park in your kitchen now because you didn't deal with it initially. So those were the four phases of freaking out. And personally, I feel like I do a lot. I go into ostrich mode a lot. Like, I avoid a lot of things. Sometimes I used to go into ostrich mode. People would say things and I would act like they didn't say them. I would see things, act like I didn't see it. Things would just happen and I would just avoid it. Like, oh, no. No, that's not happening. Like, let me just move on and pretend like it doesn't happen. And that doesn't do anything but create a false reality. That's what that does. It creates a false reality. And now you're being delusional. And at some point, you know, it's good to be delusional when it comes to manifesting the things you want. But when there's a real life situation going on and you are so delusional that you're just ignoring it like it's not here in the physical realm, that is a problem. So I just thought those were very interesting, and it kind of allowed me to realize how I do respond to situations, and it gave me the next step to go to once I see how I initially want to respond to situations. So the next thing she talked about were freak out funds, and these are basically things, not tangible, but things that you have when a situation happens that you need to spare. So these freak out funds consist of your time, your energy, and your money. So let's say something happens and you're spending your time being sad, or you're spending your time being anxious when that time could really be used towards solving the problem or figuring out what's going on, or, you know, just getting one step closer to the problem being annihilated is what I want to say. The second one was your energy. Now, your energy, like we were saying, sad, that just exhausting for you to be sad and crying and throwing tantrums and just it takes a lot of energy to to respond in any way, really. So you want to make sure you are using your energy wisely, because your energy will deplete, you know, throughout the day, and then you're tired. You've spent all your time crying and throwing everything around in your house, and now you don't even have any energy to actually work towards the problem. Now you're tired and you just want to sleep. And then the last one was money, which is like with the anger one, when you break your phone or whatever, now you have to waste money buying a new phone, or now you have to spend your money to get this and get this when you could have just calmed down. Let's say calmed down for real and be rational. And then she even said the number four was goodwill, which is when you take on other people's problems. Like, you spend your time, your energy, and your money or whatever helping other people fix their problems, if I'm not mistaken. So she also says worrying is wasteful, which is true, because, like I said earlier, if you can do something about it, do it. But if you can't, then don't. You're worrying, wasting your time and your energy, and you're creating situations. Creating situations in your head. And this is even something, moving a little forward in the book, she said you can overthink yourself into a shitstorm. So you worrying, you know, you get the things that you attract. So if you're constantly thinking about things going wrong, things are most likely going to go wrong, you can't really prepare for the worst and expect the best. Like, I think that was in another book review I did. I want to say The Game of Life and How to Play It. No. It might have been, I think it was The Game of Life and How to Play It. Because what was the other one? The other one was The Mastery of Love. Yeah, I think it was The Game of Life and How to Play It by Florence Goble Shin. And I'll be posting that. I'll be posting a poem on the next episode of the review of that book. So if you want to listen to that, check that out. And, worrying is wasteful. So spend your time very wisely. And she also says, my shit is my shit and no one else's. It's no one else's job or responsibility to help you through your problems, through your issues. It's no one else's responsibility to make sure that you accomplish everything that you need to accomplish, or that you get out of the situation that you're in. If you're in a sticky situation, it's your job to get yourself out of that sticky situation. And that's no shade, no tea. You know what I'm saying? And another thing she said was discard your worries and organize your response. So when you get rid of your worries, when you stop overthinking about all the things that could go wrong, when you stop creating situations that have not even happened yet, you can organize your response. So you can see what you need to do. You can prioritize the things that you need to do and get a plan in order, actually. So this next part, this was where she broke down in levels how serious the situation is. So she calls these situations shitstorms, right? And she kind of categorized them like tornadoes or hurricanes. You know, you have category one to category five. So category one is highly unlikely. Then we have possible but not likely, likely, highly likely, and then category five is inevitable. So when a situation occurs, and this is what I liked about this book, she even gave some like examples of situations, and it was kind of like a workbook. Like one of the situations, let me see if I can find one in the book real quick. Hello.
Hi.
Okay, so Tiny Hands woke up and she's laying on my lap sleeping. So it's going to be kind of a quiet podcast for the rest of this episode, but I still want to get this out, so I'm going to kind of whisper it a little bit. But the example that she was given was that your cousins were like beefing on social media and your wedding is coming up and both of the cousins are going to be there. So like, what is the possibility of them actually turning into a physical altercation And you rank that highly unlikely to inevitable based on the facts, based on their past, based on them as individuals. And that's how you go about the situation. And then she even says there are two control types. There are things that are completely out of your hands, and there are things that you can make a contribution towards. So take that into consideration when you are trying to figure out what you can do in the situations, especially those three A's. Acknowledge, accept, and address. What you can and what you can't control are two very important things that you need to understand while approaching a situation. Now, this was very grounding for me. She said there are things that exist in your imagination, there are things that exist in reality, and it is your duty to accept the things that exist in your reality as your reality, and this allows you to calm the fuck down. So those situations that you make it up in your head are made up. They don't even exist in this realm. So there's no need for you to freak out about them. Just pay attention to what's happening right here, right now. Pay attention to the things that you know to be facts. And it can help you reach your desired outcome. And that's also, after that, she went into what we were talking about earlier. Don't overthink yourself into a shitstorm. Because if you constantly sit and dwell on and create these situations in your head and you prepare for what's the worst that can happen, you're more likely to attract these situations to you. You're more likely to see these things manifest into your reality. So instead of thinking what's the worst can happen, think what's the best can happen. Literally the best possible thing that could come from the situation that you're in right now. What is the best thing that could happen? And that's what you set your mind on. That's what you hope for, because you need to prepare for the best. If you expect the best, prepare for the best. So that was just very interesting to me. It kind of made me think differently, because usually I'm always thinking of what's the worst that could happen. I'm always thinking of what could go wrong, but what could go right? You know, why not think of what could go right? Why not think of the best possible outcome or whatever? So use your intentions and your magic and your freak out funds of energy very wisely. Put your energy towards the things that you want to charge, towards the things that you want to see thriving. Direct your energy that way. And there are also three type of, I guess, we'll just say there's three type of situations. So there's a full fixed situation. These are things that can easily be taken care of. There's not a lot of damage done. There's no damage done, actually, because if this happened, it can easily be rerouted to the right track. You know, things can easily be repaired. Then there's the salvage jobs, where there is something that needs to be done, some type of action needed for everything to go good. But it's just a simple fix. It's easy. Not a lot of energy, time, or money required to salvage this job. And then there's basic survival, where there's no immediate solution. You literally have to execute a plan. You need to use your freak out funds, your time, energy, and money wisely to do such thing. And you have to gather in people. You have to collect the facts. You have to, you know, really plan out and take action. Now, after this, she goes into how to deal with it. Now, there's three steps into dealing with it. And the first one is taking stock. You need to gather all the facts of your current situation. You need to know what's really going on. You need to know what you have in front of you. You need to know everything possible about the current situation. And then you need to identify your RIO, which is your outcome. What is it? Your RIO, your realistic, idealistic outcome, or something like that. The outcome that you want to be done, but it has to be honest. It has to be realistic. Realistic, ideal outcome. And you have to figure out what you want. This is another thing where I'm reading the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and I believe it was the second habit, which was begin with the end in mind. Yeah, so you want to know where you want to be so you can then figure out all of the steps and the things you need to do and whatever required to get there. So I just thought that was fun. Like, that was kind of like a crossover lesson. And then you need to triage, which is prioritize your to-do list. So remember those freak out funds. That's when those are going to come in handy. You need to figure, you know, your what time you have to spend, what energy you have to spend, and what money you have to spend, and all the things that you really need to do, all the things you need to do by a certain time, all the people you need to contact. You need to make out a list, figure it out, put it in order, and then you can go from there, like literally like a checklist. And when something comes up, that's when you need to regroup, you need to reimagine, and you need to reattack. So if you're on a course of your plan, of your perfect plan, and something goes wrong, you need to get yourself together, calm down, don't let it bother you, you know, collect yourself, reimagine. You need to reimagine that end goal, reimagine all the things that you need to do, reimagine the best case scenario from that point. And then you need to reattack. You need to re-strategize, come up with another plan, come up with how you're going to get there, you know. Then if you're still bending, you are not broken. So that's a term, let's talk about it real quick. That's a term, well, you know how people say I'm broke. No, you're not. You're still working. You're still bending. Broke means unable to function. Broke means it doesn't work anymore. You know, so if you are still bending, you are not broken, baby. Those words, I am broke, should not be in your vocabulary. And don't give up on yourself. Do not ever give up on yourself, especially when you're trying to reach a goal in a situation. Okay? And then if you're in your head, you need to discard and organize. Discard the useless thoughts. Discard the what-ifs. Discard all of the problems and the imagination station and the made-up things, and organize the thoughts that are real. Organize what's really going on. And that is how you calm the fuck down, guys. That is how you calm the fuck down. And I really appreciate Sarah Knight for making this book, because, like I said, I used to overthink so much. And this really put things into perspective. And this allowed me to see what I was doing and to have a... And then the way she wrote the book, it was kind of like she was just talking to you. Like, it was very casual, funny. It wasn't as serious. It wasn't boring. It was one of those books. So if you need to get a little bit more information out of this book, I highly recommend that you read it. Calm the Fuck Down by Sarah Knight. And yeah, I hope this helps you overcome your worries and... you're overthinking. I love you. I'll call you back.